Thank you for listening to today's message from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about our church and our ministry, please visit our church website at livingwaterschurchelkriver.org. We pray that you were both blessed and encouraged by today's message.
I wonder if the children, do you want to come on, sit up front here? Children, come on up. We need a couple of big kids up here too to just kind of help with the children. Anybody want to come on up and be up here with Pastor Dave today? I'm not too scary, am I?
Yeah.
There was what time? You can go ahead and sit down here. Yeah, well, we just appreciate our children in the house. You know, I love it when these kids, when we're doing the adult thing of greeting everybody and saying hi to everybody, and all of a sudden one of these kids will come up and give me a big hug and just love on me like that. Yeah, John, you're not too old. Come on up. Your wife is too old. Ashley's too old. Come on up, Ashley. I didn't mean to put you on the spot like that. But I want to read out of Luke chapter 2. As a family, we have a tradition that we read the Christmas story every year. When we come together and my big kids come home and now my grandkids are coming, and before we celebrate the opening of the presents, we open the present and receive from the Word. And I want to do that this morning because there's just a couple of things that, for me this year, are being highlighted a little bit differently. I'm going to start in Luke chapter 6, or chapter 2, verse 6. So it was while they, that's Mary and Joseph, were there in Bethlehem, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, kids, help me with this, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in the manger. Everybody knows that part, right? Because there was no room for them in the inn. Come on, kids, you know this story. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel. What was the angel's name?
Gabriel.
Behold, wasn't it? And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round. No, that really wasn't the angel's name, by the way.
Gabriel?
Yeah, probably Gabriel. I don't know who it was. And they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." There's a couple of things that I'm struck with this year as I read this story. The first thing is that first an angel appears to the shepherds, and then a multitude of angels appear to the shepherds. You know, sometimes we can think that the human race is the only thing that's existing in this sphere, in the atmosphere. Sometimes we can think that it's only the things that you can touch, see, taste, and feel is the only thing that exists in reality. See, but there's a demonstration here that all around us there are heavenly hosts. You know, we pray here regularly on Thursdays, and I'm not a person, I don't see angels a lot. I have a sensing in my heart that right back in that corner, there's a big old angel. I just always feel like he's back there. And there are times I just go stand alongside of him. You might think I'm crazy. That's okay. I know I am. No, but there are others who have seen angels. They've seen angelic activity. They've seen it across the front. And we just know that there are a host, there's a crowd of witnesses that are around us. And every now and then, eyes are open to be able to see those things plainly. So you have this heavenly host that all of a sudden appears and starts making some declarations. And this heavenly host, it just comes out of nowhere. How many remember the story of Elisha when he was with his servant and there was a wicked king that was coming to take Elisha? You remember that? And the servant was kind of freaked out. He says, "What are we going to do?" And Elisha, he's just kind of cool, calm, and collected. He says, "Ah, don't worry about it. There's more with us than they're against us." Servant says, "What? We're here alone. There is an army coming against us." And Elisha just simply says, "Oh, Lord, open up the eyes of this servant so that he can see." Do you remember what that servant saw? He saw all around him heavenly hosts. He saw horses and chariots and warriors all around him. You know what? We are not alone in this thing. We're not standing alone like the lone lost ranger. And, well, we're just, you know, all defeated. And look how big and bad the devil is. And look at all the wickedness that's all around us. We know that there's at least twice as many of them as they are of the devil. We have a heavenly host surrounding us. Hebrews chapter 12 says, let us, you know, lay aside the weights and the stuff that encompass us. We have this heavenly witness. We have, you know, the saints that have gone before us. We've got the angels. We've got God himself, the Son of God, leading us. Be encouraged. We have a heavenly host that's accompanying us here this morning. Do you know that as we're singing this morning, we're just joining. We're just a small piece, a big piece, but a small piece. An important piece, but a small piece of a large entourage. A large host of people. You know, probably half of our people are gone here this morning. They're celebrating Christmas somewhere else. And God bless them. God, just release your blessing wherever they are. You know? But I tell you what, we weren't a small gathering here this morning. We were part of a larger gathering.
Amen.
Kids, do you know what an entourage is?
No.
You don't know what an entourage is?
I heard it in SpongeBob.
You heard it in SpongeBob? What? We got to hear this. Okay, what's an entourage?
An entourage is...
You didn't hear it too well, did you?
No.
Okay. Well, we'll demonstrate an entourage. See, Jesus, the Son of Man, and God does things just to offend people's minds so that he can get at their heart. How many know a babe coming in a manger was offensive to the Jews and it was offensive to the rulers? The Jews couldn't receive this baby in the manger because they thought a warrior was coming to take and deliver them from the Roman oppression. But Jesus did come with an entourage. It wasn't seen by natural eyes. Here's an entourage.
Oh, okay.
Okay, let's see. We'll pick you as a king. Come on, stand up. You want to be the king?
No.
King for a day?
No.
He makes a good king, doesn't he? Let's give him a hand. The rest of you, come on up here, all the kids. And this is what an entourage is. An entourage is somebody that gathers around somebody really important. Have you ever seen President Obama go anywhere alone?
No.
He doesn't. He's got an entourage. Some of them are protecting him.
Oh,
okay, he's got people all around him.
Oh, yeah.
But an entourage, back in the days of kings, would all gather around the king. Turn around. Let's all walk like we're going down a path here. And now, entourage. Hey, wait a minute. King, entourage, come back here. All of us would be proclaiming, "Here comes King Josiah. Here comes the great and mighty King Josiah." We're the entourage, and we're proclaiming the greatness of King Josiah. And the entourage would make a declaration of the greatness of the king. All right, so come on back, kids. Good job. But you see, Jesus didn't have an entourage of people. He had an entourage of heavenly hosts. He had an entourage of angels. He had an entourage that was proclaiming the greatness of this king that was coming. But the thing of it is, this king was coming to demonstrate, even as his entourage was spiritual in nature, it was a spiritual people that was making that proclamation, and it was a spiritual kingdom that he was coming to have a rule and a reign and an authority over. And I'm struck with the message of this entourage as they're proclaiming. You know, I think it's significant that this entourage made this proclamation to shepherds. Just normal people. Just people who were out doing their thing. They weren't the most important people on the hillside, but they were important to God, weren't they? They weren't the, you know, we had a word this morning, Nathan talked about there's something that the poor has to offer us. That we can see something in the poor. And man, how many are excited for revival that's taking place in Haiti?
Yes.
There's another missionary that Trudy knows very well and that I get his letter from. And I'll tell you, God is doing things in Haiti. This is a nation that was dedicated to Satan a couple hundred years ago. Dedicated to Satan. I mean, just all out, we dedicate ourselves to Satan type of a thing. And that contract with Satan has been lifted, and now there's light shining in Haiti. There's amazing light that is just being bursting forth on the scenes in Haiti. I'm so excited for that. But there's something about the poor that God just, you know, Jesus didn't, he came for the rich, but there's something about riches that hide the truth of the spiritual kingdom. If you're concentrated, if you're focused on riches, if you're focused on the things that you can see, taste, touch, and feel, you're going to miss this amazing kingdom that we've been invited into. So here's the proclamation of the angels. Glad tidings. You know that word glad tidings there? That's a word that we get the word evangelist from. Evangelist, you know, I can't even pronounce it. It's evangelusikoutikio, you know, something in Greek, something like that. But it means it's the same word that we get the word evangelist from. That these glad tidings of great joy. Man, how many want to see the good news proclaimed as the good news again? How many in the church want to know the good news again? You know, we think that evangelism is just for the world. We think it's just for those that are lost. But I'll tell you what, the church needs to hear the good news again.
Amen.
We need to reestablish that what we're celebrating is good news.
Yes.
See, we're not proclaiming a gospel that talks about your sin and your degradation and all the stuff. Yeah, you had to get over that stuff. But I'll tell you what, once you come through the narrow door of Jesus Christ, you come into a wide kingdom. That has good news. It's good news. Reconciliation with God. Peace on earth. Goodwill to men. Come on, this is good news. God was in Christ Jesus reconciling the world to himself. When something's being reconciled, it means it had to have been lost. What was lost in the garden, all of a sudden in the form of a baby, there's a proclamation coming by this heavenly host saying, hey, good news, peace on earth. The Father's will is good towards men. His intention is good towards men. This is the kind of stuff you just can't keep under a bushel basket. Susie talked about the light this morning. We talked about the light that's going into Haiti. You are coming into a place where there's been a proclamation over your life. Good news, glad tidings. The evangelist, I carry this good news. Good will towards men. God's will, God's heart towards men. Peace. Now, how many know that in the natural, peace didn't happen right away? There is a spiritual kingdom. You have been created to live in fellowship with God, the creator of the universe. Every man, woman, and child born on the face of the earth, I believe, has potential because they're created in the image of God, has a necessity to be connected with the God of the universe. And it's in this baby in the manger, the foolishness of the crib, of the manger, that declares peace, reconciliation. Believe on this baby in the manger. Believe in his life's mission. Believe in his death, burial, and resurrection. And you'll know this good news, and there will be peace in your heart. Peace. How many know that peace has to come in here before it comes out there? See, we try to do things backwards. We try to pretend like there's peace when there's no peace. I want to make a proclamation to you this morning. You have an opportunity. It was spoken by Bob. It was sung by Ashley. Oh, she's back up in her chair. She grew up. But there's this proclamation that's going out this morning. Peace on earth, goodwill toward you. You have been reconciled to God through this, through Jesus Christ. How many can see that sending the baby in the manger was a declaration of war on a system of bondage? And you know, this kingdom that we're living in many times just doesn't make sense. It didn't make sense to send a baby in a manger. It didn't make sense to have, you know, the Messiah, as the Jewish people understood the Messiah. It didn't make sense. But that's because he was bringing a kingdom that looked diametrically different from the kingdom that we live in. And the kingdom that we live in, the kingdom that we traffic in, you know, there's hatred. This kingdom is a kingdom of love. The kingdom that we live in is a system of control, that if I want something, if I want to get something done, then I'll just manipulate and I'll control and I'll make it happen in your lives. The kingdom that we're serving is it's a kingdom of freedom. Hatred and love and you know, just all the aspects of this kingdom, this spiritual kingdom, it just looks different than what you see, taste, touch, and feel. And until we get that freedom in here, we're never going to be able to express it out there.
Yes, amen.
Can I just welcome you into this freedom, this good news, this declaration of peace in here?
Yes.
Now, if there's things in your heart that just isn't allowing that peace to come in, there's this thing called repentance. You turn from everything that this world has to offer, and you turn into the Son of God. You know, there are things in this kingdom that we sometimes have to give up. Bob has declared in this place many times, he had to give something up. He had to let go of something when he turned over the pastor to me so that he could get a hold of what God had for him. You can never get the things of God that are before you unless you let go of something. Sometimes they're good things you let go of. You remember the difference between sacrifice and obedience? Obedience is sacrifice, but it's sacrifice that's motivated by love. It's sacrifice that's motivated by the love of God. That's what drives this kind of obedience. But there is this declaration of war on a system of bondage and control that God declared by sending his Son. Isaiah chapter 9, verse whatever it is. For unto us a son is born, unto us a child is given. A government will be upon his shoulders. And of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. See, if you're looking at the shape that the United States is in right now, and we see economic problems, we see moral problems, we see issues with divorce and families, and I could go on and on and on and proclaim to you there's bad news all around us. But I tell you what, I serve a kingdom that isn't dictated by the circumstances of life. I serve in a kingdom where there's a higher reality. And I'll tell you what, there is an increase of the government of God that has been taking place ever since the day of the babe in the manger. There is more influence. Do you know that there are more Christians, more believers alive today on the face of the earth than there has been in all the rest of history? Do you know that in Asia, in China, in other parts of the world, there is just people getting saved and brought into the kingdom in droves? We were in a ministerial meeting, Bob and I, and just last week, and we were told about this movement coming out of China. Communist, oppressive, controlling China. And out of the millions and millions of Christians that have been born again, people that have been born again in China, there is a movement that's starting. It's called Back to Jerusalem. You see, when the gospel was preached, it went west, didn't it? It went into Turkey, and it went around the Mediterranean, and into Europe, and England, and into the United States. And it's gone back around now, and it's in China. It's in the middle, it's in the Far East. And there's explosions in India and in China. Of this kingdom, where there's this increase of his government, this increase of his influence upon the face of the planet. And now they've got a plan. They're taking these Chinese believers who, how many know that you and I as Westerners, if we tried going from China and getting back to Jerusalem, there's all these Arab countries. It's like one last stronghold on the face of the earth. Now, how many know that you and I would probably have problems getting through there? I was just reading about this in another article that was written. What they're doing is they're training these Chinese missionaries, and they're training them in things like learn how to jump out of a 3-story window without getting hurt. They're training them in things like learn how to die as a martyr. Learn how to lay down your life in order to bring the gospel. See, this gospel has to be preached all the way around the world, and there's just there isn't much left. Just a little thing called the Arab nations. And there are people being trained even now to take the trade routes back into Jerusalem, the old trade routes, and they're going to bring the gospel with them. Even now, Jesus is appearing to Islamic leaders, the holy men of Islam. Jesus is leading them to himself. How would you like to be led to Jesus by Jesus? Would that be cool or what? See, don't allow the circumstances in our narrow little world here of the United States dictate your theology on the increase of the government and peace that is even now expanding in the face of the earth. His kingdom is getting bigger and bigger and bigger and more influential. And it's shifting things in the spiritual atmosphere, even now, of the increase of his government and peace. There will be no end. That's a promise. I just don't buy the thing that this thing is going to, just go so far and then the devil's going to get it all back and beat everybody up. And I don't buy that. I will I die a martyr? Maybe I will. I don't know. But I know this, that where an increase of a government that ministers and deals with the inside of man increases, then the overflow of that is civilizations, governments, lands, and people are changed. Why? Because you and I have been given authority in planet Earth. Here's the deal. How is the increase of this government and peace working in your heart? I got a new boost today. I did. I got a new lift. Why? Because of the prophetic word that came, because of the encouragement that we know as brothers and sisters in Christ. And there is something in my heart that is being consumed inside with the kingdom. But I'll tell you what, it's not staying inside. It can't stay inside. It's changing the way I live. It's changing the way I see. It's changing the decisions that I make. See, this gospel, this glad tidings of great joy wasn't meant to be just something that, I'll make it into heaven. I got fire insurance. See, this gospel, the gospel of this kingdom is meant to move in your heart and work in your heart and bring an authority in your heart of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, where the increase of his government and his peace, there will be no end. How far can you go in Christ? How radically can you display this government and this peace in your life? I'm seeing it break out among you guys. I am. You guys don't get to hear all the things that I hear that's going on around here. But I tell you, there is some incredible stuff that's happening in you, in the body of Christ. Why? Because this government is consuming you. It's overtaking you. It's taking a rule. It's changing you in here so that you can effect change around you. There's a purpose why you've been entrusted this ministry of reconciliation, reconciling the world to God through Christ Jesus. In this declaration of war, there is always... How many know war is violent?
War is hell.
War is hell. That's good terminology. I've tried watching some of these war movies, and I don't know. I'm just not built that I can watch that stuff. I just feel that stuff too much, you know. And yet I know that war, there's violence in war. The ultimate act of violence happened when that baby grew up and started declaring, "The kingdom of God has come. The kingdom of God has come." This kingdom that now doesn't come by observation, Luke says, but it's within you. The kingdom of God has come. The kingdom of God has come. The violence that takes place isn't a natural violence. We tried that as Christians, didn't we? The conquistadors and... No. The violence that takes place is when you violently love people. When you radically love people, when you radically pull the gold out of people, when you radically serve people. The violence that comes is when you act in an opposite spirit. Where there's greed, you just flat out are generous. That's a violent act in the kingdom of God. When somebody spews hate at you and calls you names and tells you to eat your Bible, I tell you, when you love that person in return, that's a violent act. But the most violent act that ever came on the face of the earth was when Jesus hung upon the cross. When this innocent babe in a manger, when the very, very foolishness of God was demonstrated by being stripped naked, hung on a cross, and violence was inflicted upon him. He suffered some physical violence, but the real victory was when the violence that Jesus demonstrated by his love, by his forgiveness, by his obedience, absolutely destroyed the kingdom of darkness. You think the violence was against Jesus, but if you're seeing with spiritual eyes, the real violence was against the kingdom of darkness. It says it made a show of him openly. That act of violence on Jesus' part, where it absolutely decimated the enemy. I mean, he really has nothing. All authority, all power has been stripped from him. All he has now is deception. All he has is a lie. All he has is to convince you and try to convince you that you're not the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. All he has is a lie that tells you that his blood wasn't enough. All he has to tell you is that there's something more that's going to have to get rid of guilt and shame. You got to climb up mountain steps on pieces of broken glass. And we laugh at people that try to do that, but I'll tell you what, we try to do that too. There's nothing left to be done. The absolute violent death blow came to the enemy on the cross. And he won the victory. So why are we celebrating? See, the scripture says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, as often as you eat this bread and drink this wine, you show forth my death. Why, in the face of celebration of the birth, are we proclaiming his death? Because his death was a birth for you and me. His death was a birth of a new kingdom. It was a new ruling order in the spirit realm that, and you know, the spirit realm always supersedes the natural realm. His death was just the birth of a new people, of a people that had never been created before. Think of that. Never before, never before, where God would actually come into man and give his spirit. See, your life in Christ is so much more than salvation. The good news that we're proclaiming, this glad tidings of great joy, is more than just salvation. I want to preach the gospel of salvation, but I want to preach the gospel of the kingdom, which is so much bigger than just the gospel of salvation. The gospel of salvation gets you in through this narrow door, but the gospel of the kingdom has no limits. It has no ends. It has no boundaries of righteousness. So we're going to celebrate communion today. And we're celebrating the completion of the destiny of this babe in the manger. I wasn't sure how we were going to do communion today, and Susie had asked some people to be very, very flexible. I'd like to do communion a little bit differently today, if we can. What I'd like is we're going to set up probably four stations across the front here. And we as elders and wives, would it be okay if we took and served communion? How many of us are here? 1, 2, 3. And Ken and Carrie are not here. Shauna Tammy, oh, there you are. Yeah, so we've got four teams. And what we're going to do is we're going to set up four teams. We'll play some music, and just as you and your family want to come up, and we as an eldership, we're just going to bless you. We're not going to pray a lot of prayers over you. We're just going to proclaim this blessing of freedom and of life over you. You know, we're just going to release Holy Spirit to do the things that Holy Spirit can do that we can't do. So teams, why don't you come on up? We do celebrate an open communion. Come on up and just find yourselves a place across the front here as a husband and wife. And we'll put some music on, but if you put it on very, very softly, because people are going to want to hear the blessing that we're praying. And this is just an incredible privilege for us as leaders to serve you. Some of you here really don't know who. Oh, this is us. this is us, yeah. So, Lord, today as we break bread, God, as we make this proclamation of the broken body and of the shed blood of Jesus, God, we are celebrating the initiation of a new world order. A new world order, God, where our hearts are set free from sin and bondage and the dictates of this king and the ruler of this age. And we're set free to be able to come into your presence. We're set free to be able to allow you to love on us. We're set free, God, to be able to live a life of limitless possibilities. Father, we make a declaration this morning that we, in the breaking of bread, in the drinking of the wine, we're making a declaration this morning that we are aligning ourselves into the greatness of this kingdom, where the government and peace has no end. So we bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. I wonder if first of all, if our families would come forward so we can celebrate communion together. And then come as families. Just kind of, if you want to stand in line, you can. I want to encourage you as a family, as the body here, just reach out your hands. God's going to highlight some people for you to pray for and to just release blessing into. So I want to encourage you to do that. Families, come on up. We're going to serve you first, and our families, and then we will serve you, the body of Christ. Feel free to go wherever you want to go. You know, and if there is somebody, like you saw Brittany come up with our family, if there's somebody here who is here alone, you don't have somebody with you, or if you're a smaller family and you want to join with somebody else, just feel free. Well, bless you. Merry Christmas. You know, just one more thing before you take off. Father, I pray your blessing upon each one here today. God, I pray that you release your anointing, God, as they go to families, as we just continue to celebrate, Lord, the greatest gift ever given. We thank you, we praise you, we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you all. Merry Christmas.
We hope you enjoyed today's message from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. If you live in or are planning to travel to the Elk River area, we invite you to join us for our Sunday morning worship service at 9:30 a.m. each week. For directions and to learn more about our church, please visit our church website at livingwaterschurchelkriver.org.